You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is Maximizing Your Potential by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
To Matthew, the 25th chapter. Matthew 25. Let's pick up at verse 19 for the sake of time. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. Every time I go to say the old folks, I realize I can't say that no more. But the people in the church years ago used to say there will be a reckoning day. Reckoning day when the books are pulled out. Got to make sure your name's written in the last book of life. Got to see if what you've been saying adding up to how you're living. That there's a reckoning day for the harvest and all that we do and all that we say. And so after a long time, the Lord of those servants covered the records with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought forth 5 talents. Brought other 5 talents. Saying, Lord, thou delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I've gained beside them 5 talents more. The Lord said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He that received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you gave me 2 talents. Behold, I've gained 2 other talents besides them. The Lord saith unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thou art a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth. And lo, there is thine. The Lord answered, said, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury or interest. Therefore take the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We're continuing. I believe this is part 3 of maximizing your potential. Look at your neighbor. Say, you need to maximize your potential. We said that potential refers to latent qualities or abilities that may be developed and lead to future success and usefulness. It's the possibility of something happening, someone doing something great in the future. Potential is having or showing the capacity to become greater than you are right now. At the root of that word potential is the Latin word potent, which means power. So potential refers to power to become. We said potential is conceived ability that one day become revealed ability. And we have gone through great pains to let you know that everybody has potential. And we said that seed is potential. And God created everything with the seed in itself. In other words, God created everything with potential in itself. So God's not creating anything more. He put potential seed in us, so that now we can go and reproduce, and he should never have to try to create again. But we said there's a battle for your seed. There's a battle for your potential. I don't think that the devil has all the revelation, all the understanding of everything that we will do, everything we will be, and everything we will become. But I believe he gets glimpses of it. Oh, this is so good. Thank you for showing me this, Lord. He knows that every human being born of a woman has the potential to bruise his head. Because that was the curse that God said upon him, that the seed of the woman will bruise your head. So this being that will produce, that will be produced through a woman, has a potential to have victory over the devil. Has a potential to dominate over every demon, over every devil, over every imp, over every creep. You have the potential to dominate over that devil in your life. Y'all are hearing me here. I don't care how long he's been haunting and taunting your family. You need to recognize I have what it takes to put the devil under my foot. But if the devil can punk you and make you not realize your potential, if he can bring someone along the path who he can use to try to bruise your heel, to trip you up in life and keep you from becoming everything that you should become through something like low self-esteem. Do y'all realize low self-esteem is of the devil? Because if you just go back to how God created man, he said, let them have dominion. When God created us, he created us in his likeness. You cannot have a revelation and understanding that I'm created in the image of God. I'm created in God's likeness, that God give me the power to dominate and have low self-esteem. If you have low self-esteem, it's because you don't know who you are. You don't understand that you are a little g in the earth. A little g means little God in the earth. I am, come on now. Every Bailey born into the Bailey family is a little Bailey. Come on now. And every Christian born into the family of God is a little g. Look up, you look at your neighbor and say, what's up, little g? So God has given you the power to operate like him. He's given you the power to be like him. You have potential to dominate. But you have to recognize that potential, use that potential, and not let the devil rob you of that potential. So we saw that in this scriptural context here, from Matthew the 25, it's told the story of a man who was a businessman. Let's even say this, he was an investor. And he invested 5 talents of money, which is measurements of money, to one, 2 talents to another, and 1 talent to the third. The one who had 5 reproduced it and brought forth 5 more. The one who took the 2 talents brought forth 2 talents more. They all did something with the investment. Come on. Investment is something that is put in something. Come on now. Just because you have money doesn't mean you've invested money. Come on. The money is not invested until you put it in. Oh, my God, this is so good. Until you put it in something that has the potential to increase it. You realize you are God's investment in the earth. God put something in you because he saw you had the potential to do something with what he put in you. And he did it according to their ability. And that calms us down and gives us the assurance to know that I don't have to do what everyone else does. I just got to do what God gave me to do. I don't have to be like everybody else. Come on now. I don't have to know everything everybody else knows. And watch this. We even saw last week, everybody don't even have to like you. I don't have to go after everybody's audience because God got my audience. Hallelujah. There are people who it's like that thing I told you when we first started the church. Our church really started booming, started growing. You know, one pastor said to me, he said, listen, Bailey, if any members come to your church, you used to go to my church, send them back. Well, if they left, they probably ain't coming back. Okay? I really don't. I mean, you ain't gonna come back if you mad at me just because some pastor say you gotta go back. Then no, you like, no, I ain't going back. Okay, so you gotta understand what your audience is. Amen. The Bible says that Jesus knew those who God are really connected to him. He said for that reason he committed himself to none of them because he knew from the beginning who was really with him and who would betray him. Everybody say, Lord, give me that revelation. Come on now, so you don't get connected and hooked up and make alliances and allegiances and with the wrong people. Amen. And so we said that God put something in us and gave it all, 5, 2, and 1, according to the severability, and including the one he gave had the capacity at the minimum to produce at least one more. God, the master did not expect to him, the Lord did not expect him to produce two more. He did not expect him to produce 5 more, because that was the ability of the one who had 5 and 2. But he at least expected him to produce 1 more. You don't have to live up to everyone else's potential, but you need to live up to your potential. You don't have to produce based upon everyone else's expectations, but you need to produce based upon God's expectations of you. Are you hearing me? Because you have to know what God has placed in you, and it may be different from what he's placed in everyone else. So maximization, let's move on today. Because I want to show you, we ended last week with Luke 12 and 48. Luke 12, 48, it says, "For unto whomsoever is much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." I believe if the one who had 5 came back and produced 3, the Lord would have been dissatisfied, because he had the capacity to produce more. If the one who he gave the capacity to produce 2 only came back with 1 more, he would have only been maximizing half of his potential. Are y'all with me here? So the more that God has given you, the more he expects to get a return from. Amen. A study came out, I believe it was last year through Harvard, and it was published in New York Times and various other articles. The show Blackish did a little spin on it, or really presented it, and they presented it in a comical way. But it was based upon a study that came out earlier this year. And it was showing that among African Americans, particularly African American men, that African American men are more likely, even if they came from well-established middle class and upper middle class families, they are more likely to fall down economically than white, Asian, and other counterparts. And they were saying that there are various reasons, the historical racism and all these types of things, that and also the prison system. Okay? Really, because they said African American man is more likely to end up in jail. And come on, y'all, we know that ain't necessarily because we're the worst criminals. I don't mean no harm. I got to ask some questions. I was flipping through the channels last night, and I was watching live PD. I just happened to stumble on it, and I recognized the officers. And it was an arrest that was happening live of somebody they had to chase down here in Columbia, South Carolina, not far from right here. I told you this is live PD corridor. Right off one of our side streets. We're probably within like a half a mile where we are right now. But you're good, okay? And the rest of them down. And I noticed immediately that the camera's showing them and all that. And then I saw another place. Had to chase the guy down. Wrestle him down. And his face is all blurry. I said, what's up with that? And so there are reasons, even socially, why these things happen. But I'm here to let you know, in the kingdom of God, that should not be happening. In the kingdom of God, if I'm at a particular level and I've put such, and I've given my children the potential, they ought to go further than me. Come on now. Because though thy beginning was small, your latter end should greatly increase. God says, I'm going to bless Abraham. And he said, your seed shall inherit the earth. He said, certain things are not going to be manifested through you. But if you put the right stuff in your kids, your dreams will start being manifested in future generations. Are y'all listening to me? Look at your neighbor and say, I'm going to do better than my parents. And let me tell y'all, see, you got to understand the will of God for you, because even beyond race and ethnicity, they're saying among millennials today, That millennials in this generation are probably the first ones who are not going to do as well as their parents economically. Some millennial ought to say the devil is a liar. Okay, let me try. Getting trouble over here. Some millennials over here ought to say the devil is a liar. Amen. So you're saying that this is the first generation that won't do as well as their parents. And I'm telling you, all those things may be happening in the natural. Such should not be the case in the kingdom of God. Because the Bible said that the kingdom of God is always advancing. Amen. Let me say that again. If you are in the kingdom, you ought to be advancing. Amen. You ought to be going forward. Things ought to be getting better, not worse. You ought to be going up, not down. You ought to be increasing and not decreasing. God should be enlarging your territory. Somebody say, I'm in the kingdom now. So it's important for you to understand this, because if you don't understand these principles of the kingdom, you will succumb. You will succumb to just what they say about black folks. If you don't know what God wants for you in the kingdom, you will succumb to what they simply say about millennials. Yes. If you don't know what the kingdom says, you will succumb to what they say about South Carolina. Yes. Come on now. No. I'm not just in my family. I'm in God's family. Yes. Come on now. I don't just live in South Carolina. I live in the kingdom of God in South Carolina. And if God be for me. Yes. Whoo. I said, if God be for me, who can be against me? See, which is why, wasn't planning on going here, but I'll go here. Which is why, even in this political climate, I thank God the economy is doing good. Amen. I thank God the stock market is doing good. Now, most of y'all, unless you got a retirement plan, and most of you know, sometimes most of us, you know, folks, ain't be worried about stock market. Ain't no stock in the market. Okay, so it can go up and down, round and round. The average one of us, we don't care unless you have money invested in, and many times you do through your retirement plans or 401ks, etc. I thank God that the economy is doing well. And I believe that in part the economy is doing well because of this president. In part. He didn't start it. Anyway. But he gets the credit because he's in office. Okay? And I thank God. I thank God that there are more jobs coming back and all that. But see, because I know that my supply don't come from Republicans. Nor Democrats. Because I know that God supplies all my need according to riches and glory. I can look beyond just myself. Because I'm going to be all right anyway. But there's people who don't know what I know. There's people who don't have the opportunity that I have. The people don't know how to work what I work. And so I have to broaden myself and broaden my thinking to not just think about myself. As I heard one person say this week, I don't want things to just be, I don't just want to do well. I think everybody ought to do well. Amen. So even in your voting, you ought to think about, I know things could be going good for me, but I want things to be good for everybody. Come on now. And God knows if I have a mind to want to bless other people and help other people, then God himself will take care of me. Now that's a broader way of thinking. It's a way of faith. Full thinking, but you have to understand that if God is for you, no man can hold you back. Amen. Glory to God. For the last 20 years, I've been prospering, going forward, things getting better and better and gooder and gooder. Amen. Somebody said, that ain't a word that, but it feel good like this. Yes, feel gooder. Because I trust God. And so I've seen God prosper me under all types of administrations. I've seen God keep this church of not just afloat, cause us to prosper when other churches were shutting down. Because at the end of the day, they were still trusting in natural principles. But I kept seed in the ground. And I know when if you sow all the time, you can reap any time. I know if I keep working the principles of God's word, it'll be there when I get there. Come on. In the midst of the recession, we paid off $4 million. In the midst of the recession, we built another children's facility for $2 million and paid it off. Come on. Don't tell me God won't supply. In the midst of folks in this church talking about that they laid off and don't have jobs, God still supplied. Some trust horses, some trust chariots, but we will remember the name of the Lord. Can I tell y'all the truth? I told you this in the midst of the economic recession, that God can take care of you with or without a job. Amen. The truth of the matter is, it's just easier for you to believe him if you got one. Yeah. Amen. But I'm a witness. He can take care of you with and without a job. I started writing a book because I told you I'm writing this little book called with the models that I use, give to live, sow to flow, cast to last. And I was writing a chapter and I started reminiscing about how God just supplied for us when we went full time in ministry. It made no sense. I had a rhema word from God: don't get another job. Dedicate yourself, commit yourself to being full-time in ministry with a church with 20 members and 40 attenders. Okay? So half the folks are still there looking at me like this. I don't know. We got some folks right here, right now. Okay? They right here, right now. They were with me for 1 year, 2 years before they joined. In the early days. And some didn't join until I got a more permanent building. Because, like, this is a tent. You can just take this down and go on about your business somewhere. And you got to have some roots here. I get it. But in the midst of all that, God told me to trust him. And I started thinking back. I just started rehearsing the different things that God did. And when I told my former pastor of the church that we left to come here and start the church, who did not initially want us to leave, who just didn't really speak positive about me leaving, coming here to start a church. But God changed their heart. Because if you're in the will of God, hey, don't fight. Just watch God. Just watch God convince folks. So come on now. And so when I called him and said, well, you know, I'm not no longer that job anymore. I got fired from the job. The Lord told me I don't get another job. And even after the Lord told me I can't become a job placement officer for Marsh and send resumes out and all that. And as soon as I said to him, he said, okay, well, we're going to support you. The first month, he sent us $3,000, not knowing that my whole family, we had just got in our living room and prayed. And I said, Lord, I need a minimum of $3,000 a month. And here's the first $3,000, just came just like that. The next month, they sent us $2,000. The next month, they sent us $1,000. Look to your neighbor and say, you better get your faith up. Now, we ain't going to be no welfare faith. I'll give you some time. Get it up. And then I just watched God do things. And then shortly after that, I went to dedicate. He came to my service when I was in New Jersey a couple weeks ago. His daughter now is 19 years old. And she came out to the services every night. She said, you don't remember me? She said, you dedicated me and your brother and my brother. How you even know I'm dedicated? You was like, oh. But... You know, and I went up there to dedicate them to the Lord and have, you know, what we call a Christian service, whatever. And when I did that, and they gave me three, and right afterwards, he gave us $3,000, $2,000 to me, $1,000 to Marsha. And then that was the $3,000 we put for that next month. Are you hearing me here? And so I'm a witness. God can take care of you, even when you don't know where it's going to come from. And so those initial months, but my supply, it didn't come from the church. It didn't come through members in the church. And then somebody shows up one Sunday, and just the first time he comes, walks in, and then walks up to me after church and hands me $1,000 check. I had never had an individual give me $1,000 check. But God was showing me, if you do what I tell you to do, trust me more than you trust man, I will provide for you.
God has equipped us all with potential. It's our responsibility to tap into it. Bishop Herbert Bailey gives you the tools to maximize your God-given potential in this transforming series. Order this powerful message today. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. For immediate access, subscribe to Right Direction TV. Ask for Maximizing Your Potential.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.